Hello, I'm Dr. Gerald Chodak from Medscape. Today's topic is on the genomic prostate score and its potential ability to help men decide what to do if they've been diagnosed with a clinically localized prostate cancer. Van den Eeden and co-workers published a report of 279 men who had been diagnosed between 1995 and 2010 in the Kaiser Permanente health system. All the men were treated with radical prostatectomy. These men were selected out of a population of about 6,000 because they had all the information available, making it possible to do this analysis. They obtained paraffin blocks from all of these patients and then performed the genomic prostate score. That's a 17-gene test, 12 of them cancer genes and 5 of them reference genes, that results in providing a score ranging from 0 to 100. The higher the number, the greater the likelihood of the event occurring. They then looked at their results and compared them to both CAPRA scores and NCCN risk categories. What they found was the following. First, if a man had very low risk or low risk prostate cancer and a GPS score less than 20, none of them developed metastatic disease or died of their cancer in the next 10 years. For comparing the results to CAPRA and NCCN, they found the following. Relative to CAPRA, for predicting death from prostate cancer, the area under the curve was 0.78, and it increased to 0.84 using the GPS score. So in other words, it improved the accuracy. In terms of metastatic disease, it improved it from 0.65 to 0.73, using the GPS score and comparing it to CAPRA. The results were slightly better when comparing it to NCCN. So what does this tell us and what does it mean? Well, let's start with the very low and low risk category. The odds of developing metastatic disease only go up to about 20%, even at the highest GPS score of nearly 100. And the question is, what fraction of men actually fall into this higher risk category to make the test worthwhile? Under current guidelines, most of these men, or nearly all of these men, are going to be advised to consider active surveillance. So the question is, will the GPS score change that in any meaningful way? And I think it's going to be a rare patient who will find some benefit. What about in the high risk category? Here, it's unlikely that the GPS score will change a patient from aggressive therapy to conservative therapy. And so one could make an argument that it doesn't serve a very useful purpose for the high-risk patients. The group that might benefit are the intermediate group patients, where there is a question whether to consider active surveillance. And if they had a low GPS score, it might tip the balance in favor of that direction. Here, this might be a useful thing to consider in a man who's on the fence about whether aggressive therapy is right for them. But again, how many patients are actually being helped by the use of this test, and does it justify using it for far more patients? I think the trouble remains that although the area under the curve is slightly better compared to, say, the CAPRA score, it's not that much better. And it still is left with a 16% inaccuracy for predicting death from prostate cancer and nearly a 25% inaccuracy for predicting the development of metastatic disease. There is no doubt that these genetic tests are gaining in their ability to help with what we can do and what we can predict. But at the end of the day, it's an estimate. It's a probability. It's not an exact number. So to tell a patient that they have, let's say, a 25 or 30% risk of developing metastatic disease using the test, and you're only able to predict maybe 10% or 5% lower if you use one of the other methods, such as CAPRA or NCCN, I'm just not sure that it's worth getting the information. And so there is the expense of having to do it. And at the end of the day, are enough patients going to really benefit from this method to justify its widespread use? I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And lastly, we need prospective data. We need to look at patients who use the test to make a decision and see how often the outcome was as was predicted. Until that occurs, we're going to be left with some uncertainty about what these tests really do in terms of helping patients. I look forward to your comments. Thank you.